They stood in a huge semicircular alcove carved out of the rock and looking out over the dark space of Station 4's repair and maintenance area. The cavern was 300 metres or more square, and from the bottom of the scooped gallery they stood on to the floor of the vast cave, littered with machinery and equipment, was a 30-metre drop. Great cradle arms capable of lifting and holding an entire command system train were suspended from the roof above, another 30 metres up in the gloom. In the mid-distance, a suspended gantry lanced out over the cave, from a gallery on one side to the other, bisecting the cavern's dark bulk. They were ready to move. Hawser gave the order. Wubslin and Nysin each headed down small side tubes toward the main command system tunnel and the transit tubeway respectively, using AG. Once in the tunnels, they would keep level with the main group. Hawser switched on his own AG, rose about a metre from the floor, and floated down a branch tunnel of the foot gallery, then started slowly forward, down into the darkness, toward Station 5, 30 kilometres away. The rest would follow him, also floating. Balveda shared the pallet with the equipment. He smiled when Balveda sat down on the pallet. She suddenly reminded him of Fui Song sitting on his heavy-duty litter in the space and sunlight of a place now gone. The comparison struck him as wonderfully absurd. Hawser floated along the foot tunnel, stopping to check the side tubes as they appeared and contacting the others whenever he did so. His suit sensors were turned as high as they would go. Any light, the slightest noise, an alteration in the airflow, even vibrations in the rock around him, all were catered for. Unusual smells would register too, as would power flowing through the cables buried in the tunnel walls and any sort of broadcast communication. He'd thought about signalling the adherents as they went along, but decided not to. He'd sent one short signal from Station 4 without receiving a reply, but to send more on the way would be to give too much away if, as he suspected, the adherents were not in a mood to listen. He moved through the darkness as though sitting on an invisible seat, the cruise cradled in his arms. He heard his heartbeat, his breathing, and the quiet slipstreaming of the cold, half-stale air around his suit. The suit registered vague background radiation from the surrounding granite, punctuated by intermittent cosmic rays. On the faceplate of the suit's helmet, he watched a ghostly radar image of the tunnels as they unwound through the rock. In places, the tunnel ran straight. If he turned, he could see the main group following half a kilometre behind him. In other places, the tunnel described a series of shallow curves, cutting down the view provided by the scanning radar to a couple of 100 metres or less, so that he seemed to float alone in the chill blackness. At Station 5, they found a battleground. His suit had picked up odd scents. That had been the first sign. Organic molecules in the air, carbonized and burned. He'd told the others to stop, gone on ahead cautiously. Four dead Medjel were laid out near one wall of the dark, deserted cavern, their burned and dismembered bodies echoing the formation of frozen changer corpses at the surface base. Idirin religious symbols had been burned onto the wall over the fallen. There had been a firefight. The station walls were pocked with small craters and long laser scars. Hawser found the remains of one laser rifle smashed, a small piece of metal embedded in it. The Medjel bodies had been torn apart by hundreds more of the same tiny projectiles. At the far end of the station, behind the half-demolished remains of one set of access ramps, he found the scattered components of some crudely manufactured machine, a kind of gun on wheels like a miniature armoured car. Its mangled turret still contained some of the projectile ammunition, and more bullets were scattered like wind seeds about the flame-seared wreck. Hawser smiled slightly at the debris, weighing a handful of the unused projectiles in his hand. "The mind," Wubslin said, looking down at what was left of the small vehicle. "It made this thing." He scratched his head. "Must have," Hawser said, watching Yalson poke warily at the torn metal of the wreck's hull with one booted foot, gun ready. "There was nothing like this down here, but you could manufacture it in one of the workshops. A few of the old machines still work. It'd be difficult, but if the mine still had some of its fields working, and maybe a drone or two, it could do it. It had the time." "Pretty crude," Wubslin said, turning over a piece of the gun mechanism in his hand. He turned and looked back at the distant corpses of the Medjel and added, "Worked well enough, though." "No more Medjel by my count," Hawser said. "Still two Adirans left," Yalson said sourly, kicking at a small rubber wheel. It rolled a couple of metres across the debris and flopped over again near Nysin, who was celebrating the discovery of the demised Medjel with a drink from his flask.